Trump's artificial economy is headed for disaster. Welcome to this special report. I'm Mike Adams, and I'm not looking for reasons to try to criticize Trump. He just keeps offering them. It's like he's handing out reasons to criticize him like it was Halloween candy or something. Here, have another reason. Over the weekend, Trump did some shocking things. Number one, he announced, and this may have been on late Friday, but he announced a 50-year mortgage that he wants to push now. A 50-year mortgage, which myself and Ed Dowd and others very quickly said, yeah, there's a name for that. It's called rent. A 50-year mortgage. Trump says he wants to make housing more affordable. And of course, those of us who can do math, you know, amortization math, we ran the numbers and turns out that 20 years into a 50-year mortgage, after making payments for 20 years, guess how much principal you've actually paid off on the house? The answer is barely 10%. I was using an interest rate of 6.3, I believe. But a 50-year loan is a debt trap for homeowners. Talk about setting us up for The Big Short 2.0. My goodness. A 50-year mortgage? Number one, a lot of people won't even live that long. And especially as the people purchasing homes are older and older these days because younger people can't afford them at all. Secondly, a lot of homes don't last 50 years. In fact, you could argue that maybe most homes don't last 50 years the way they're constructed today. Now, the way they used to be built, yeah, they could last a lot longer. Not these days. They seem to deteriorate a lot more rapidly. So a 50-year loan on a home, and this is supposed to be a great pro-consumer idea from the Trump administration. Hey, why not have a 100-year loan where you just pay interest for the first 50 years? Yeah, otherwise known as rent. Like, you don't own it. You're never going to own it. And this isn't going to make housing more affordable in terms of how many people own the home. It just takes much longer to ever own it. This is a handout to the banks. The big banksters, they'll be the ones repossessing the homes when people can't make those payments for 50 years. So it's a horrible idea, and just about everybody on X, anyway, realized it was a horrible idea, but Trump thinks it's an awesome idea. Okay. The economy is in dire straits right now, and one of the signs of this is the Index of Consumer Sentiment. Now, this has been carried out by the University of Michigan. They've surveyed consumers for decades, and the current Consumer Sentiment Index is 50.3, which is a decline of almost 30% from 1 year ago. I mean, that's shocking, right? It was about 80 a year ago. Now it's 50.3. And it's the second lowest number that has ever been recorded in this survey. And part of it's because of the government shutdown, which apparently, reportedly, has been resolved. I guess a deal has been struck. The government's going to reopen, we're told, until January. And then we'll have another shutdown right after you sober up from the New Year's Eve parties, I guess. Just about the time you get sober, you're going to want to get smashed again because there's going to be another shutdown in January. But also the tariffs are just wreaking havoc on our economy. Which leads me to Trump's second unbelievably ignorant idea that demonstrates that he really is economically illiterate. There's just no other way to say it. And again, I'm not going out of my way to look for excuses to slam Trump. I'm just telling it like it is. And that second idea is this $2,000 helicopter money airdrop that Trump announced. That he's going to give out $2,000 to every American who makes less than $100,000 a year, apparently. And he calls it a tariff dividend. So he's going to take some portion of the tariff money, which is essentially a tax, because it's ultimately paid by you and I when we purchase goods that are imported. Even though Trump would say, no, the importer pays the tax. Yeah, well, and then they just pass it on to us because they raise the price of it. I mean, come on. How is it that conservatives don't understand that this is a tax on people? I remember when Rush Limbaugh used to have entire shows dedicated to the idea that when Democrats want to raise taxes on corporations, that's ultimately a tax on people, because corporations just pass along the taxes to their customers. And that's absolutely true. And up until recently, every conservative person in America used to know that. And then now when Trump is raising taxes through tariffs, suddenly there's a lot of people that say, well, that's not a tax. We don't pay it. Well, who do you think pays it? If the importers pay it, or even if the exporters pay it, they have to raise the price to compensate for that. So ultimately, the importer is paying it, and ultimately, the importer is passing it on to the consumer, which means that you and I already paid all this tax money to the federal government, money that Trump's been bragging about. Look, we raised, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs. This is awesome. We're going to pay down the debt. Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the debt, Trump. He knows that. But now he says, we're going to give you a dividend on the tariffs. So after the government confiscates all this money from you through tariff taxes, he's going to give you back a small portion of that money, and he's going to call it a tariff dividend, but only if you make less than $100,000 a year. And given how crazy inflation is these days, you know, $100,000 used to be a big salary. It's not as much anymore. Now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with making $100,000. You can live on that in most places in America, but it certainly doesn't put you into the ultra wealthy category. That's for sure. So what's going to happen when this helicopter money gets distributed to all these people, $2,000 each? And apparently Trump says this is coming before Christmas. Well, obviously it's going to be just like the COVID stimulus money, where in the short term, everybody's going to run around and buy everything in sight. Groceries, hookers. Yeah, because the reason I mentioned that is because some people spent the COVID stimulus money at, what's the correct term? Pole dancing bars? The only term I know, I don't want to mention. Naked dancing bars. Right? That's where people spent COVID money. Hookers and blow, whatever. Some people bought food. Some people went out, bought hardware at the hardware store. Some people went to restaurants, etc. So it was a stimulus. But then all of the stimulus money flooding into the economy means that there are more dollars chasing the same limited supply of goods and services. And what does that cause? Economics 101. What does it cause? Inflation. So it will lead to more inflation. And inflation is already very bad on food and health insurance and so on. And, you know, Trump tried to gaslight us on that. And he said, hey, there's no inflation. He said inflation's almost zero. Can you believe that? You know, if Joe Biden said that, we would all say he's freaking bonkers. He's totally crazy. Of course, inflation is not almost zero. But Trump says it's almost zero. Unbelievable. Or almost no inflation. Those are his words. And that the USA is the most respected country in the world. He should ask around, because I don't think that's the case anymore. So that's why I call this the artificial economy. We have reached that stage of the economic collapse in America, the last stage of this US empire, where there's not enough actual organic consumer spending behavior to keep the economy alive. And so the government just prints money and hands it out to people. And that's what this is. And in my view, it's the beginning of the coming UBI. Effectively, this is UBI 1.0. It's the first installment of a UBI. Because this helicopter money airdrop will only last a while, you know, maybe a few months, depending on the person. Some people will blow through $2,000 in one weekend, shopping or whatever. Some people may stretch it out and buy food over time for a couple of months or supplement their grocery purchase or what have you. But it's not going to last forever. And because the core fundamental problems in the economy still exist, which is that prices are very high, consumers are running out of money, people are losing their jobs because of AI replacements, small businesses are going bankrupt. Some of that's due to supply chain disruptions caused by Trump's tariffs, for example. For these very reasons, lots and lots of people still aren't going to have money after the helicopter money runs out. And so you're going to be back to the same problem within a few months, maybe just a couple of months. So that's why I think this is UBI part one, or the first installment. Sometime next year, Trump is going to have to figure out a way to print even more money, push it out to people, stimulate even more spending, etc., and then to claim that we're living in a new golden age, which is exactly what he claimed last week, that we're living in a golden age. And of course, everybody mocked that. It's a golden age. I mean, people are broke. Prices are sky high. Inflation is through the roof. This is not what a golden age looks like. In fact, the economy is in a very bad situation. And personally, I'm starting to get Big Short vibes. I'm starting to hear the same kind of things, and I'm getting the same vibe that I had in 1999 before the dot-com crash, when I started warning everybody, get out of the dot-com stocks. They're way overpriced. You know, they don't do anything. You know, what problems are solved by all these dot-com websites? Nothing. And also in 2008, well, I started warning earlier, maybe 2006 or 2007, I said, housing's overblown. I mean, the housing prices, this is a bubble. It's going to crash. And sure enough, you know, subprime mortgage collapse, the great financial crisis of 2008. I'm getting those vibes again. Just now, just as of today, I'm getting those vibes. And I get the sense, I mean, you know, the Fed's doing crazy amounts of money, repo money with the banks, the repo window. There are bank failures that are probably right around the corner, is what it looks like to me. Commercial real estate has collapsed and continues to stay collapsed. I mean, who's renting commercial buildings? Nobody. I mean, or hardly anybody. And small businesses are going bankrupt. And the commercial real estate lenders are taking hits like never before. And then if you combine that with the fact that consumer debt in America is now $18.6 trillion, and that more and more consumers are losing their jobs or their businesses are going bankrupt, etc., how are they going to make payments on auto loans, home loans, student loans, and medical debt? Those are the top four. How are they going to make those payments? And the answer is they're not. They're not making those payments. So the lenders that provided the money for consumer loans, which is a lot of banks, you know, banks that provide, you know, funding for home purchases, and also the banks that provide commercial real estate loans, both of them are about to get punched in the face, and they're going to lose some teeth, and it's going to be a bloody affair. And that bloody affair will accelerate all through 2026, 27, and 28, all during Trump's term. Mass bankruptcies, massive failures of banks, probably followed by, you guessed it, massive liquidity. Yeah. So get ready for QE, like a QE buffet. Yeah. Or you can have a QE souffle. You can have a QE omelet made your way, because QE is coming no matter what. That's quantitative easing, which means helicopter money, which means the Federal Reserve prints trillions of dollars and hands it out to the banks, the rich bankers, while Trump has them print trillions of dollars and hands it out to consumers to spend on their debit cards to try to prevent the economy from crashing. So they're going to be stimulating both the banks with trillions and the consumers with trillions. And if you think that's not going to cause inflation, then you don't understand numbers. That's going to cause massive inflation. So prices are going to go insane. in 2026. We're going to have inflation that you've never seen in your adult life or any time in your life. None of us have. We're going to have inflation probably in the real world, 25, maybe 30%. It's approaching a point where prices are going to be doubling about every, little over 2 years. Yeah. And then that could continue to accelerate because there's no end to all the money printing, is there? So this is the death spiral of the U.S. empire. This is what it looks like. And they're going to print and print and print to the very end until the whole thing collapses. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court is about to rule against Trump with his illegal, unconstitutional tariffs. Now, remember that Trump has cited a 1977 law, I believe it is, that doesn't even mention tariffs. And it's a law that allows the president, in the case of national emergencies, to halt imports from a specific country. Trump has invoked that law to wield tariffs as a geopolitical weapon, with U.S. consumers paying the cost and U.S. businesses being destroyed by the supply chain disruptions. Oral arguments were heard before the U.S. Supreme Court last Wednesday, I believe it was. And right after those arguments were heard, the market, Poly Market in particular, showed a 90% chance, according to the people betting on this, 90% chance that the Supreme Court would overturn Trump's tariffs and would render a decision that said that those tariffs are unconstitutional. Only a 10% chance that his tariffs survive the Supreme Court decision. Well, it seems like Trump has been made aware of an imminent decision from the Supreme Court that's going to strike down his tariffs as unconstitutional, which is exactly what they should do, because he has no authority to determine tariffs because it's taxation. And that right belongs only with Congress. And if members of Congress had any balls, they would stand up right now and they'd be screaming at Trump and saying, you don't have the right to set taxation. That's us. We get to debate that. We get to set those tariffs, not you. And that's the way it's always been done until Trump tried to distort the law. So Trump, learning of this, has put out a post on his Truth Social that says the following, and this makes it clear that he's been told that SCOTUS is going to rule against him. He says, so let's get this straight. The president of the United States is allowed to stop all trade with a foreign country and license a foreign country, but is not allowed to put a simple tariff on a foreign country, even for purposes of national security. He says, that is not what our great founders had in mind. The whole thing is ridiculous. Other countries can tariff us, but we can't tariff them? Well, that's a deception, because of course we can tariff them. It's just that the tariffs have to be decided by Congress, not by one person in the Oval Office. And then he says, what the hell is going on? So he's very angry, obviously, about what's coming. So the Supreme Court's going to strike down these tariffs, it looks like, and then that will force the Treasury to refund. Yeah, to refund the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been paid in tariffs by U.S. businesses. That will be some cash flow to all of those businesses, and it will start dropping prices on consumer goods. So actually, ending tariffs will make things more affordable in America. Think about it. I mean, it's obvious. The importers won't have to pay the tariffs and they'll be getting a refund, so they're going to have everything on sale. You know, it's like, hey, finally, now it's cheaper. Everything will be cheaper, appliances and car parts and everything else. And that would be good for American consumers. Now, it looks like Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent also got word of this, because Scott Bessent up until now has been Trump's economic cheerleader. He's been, you know, screaming about how great everything is and the economy is great, you know, golden age message and all of that. Well, something changed over the weekend. Scott Bessent now says exactly the opposite. He says the economy is getting worse and worse, and that the growth this quarter could be cut by half. I know, it doesn't even sound like the same Besant that we had, or Besant. Still not sure how to say his name exactly. But let's listen to him say this. Here we go.
Just heard about all these impacts from the government shutdown right now. Are we starting to see a permanent impact on the economy?
Sure, George, and good to be with you. And we've seen an impact on the economy from day one, but it's getting worse and worse. We had a fantastic economy under President Trump the past two quarters, and now there are estimates that the economy, economic growth for this quarter could be cut in by as much as half if the shutdown continues. And what your correspondent didn't talk about there, George, was there's, of course, the human cost, and we're going to have the busiest travel day of the year, the day after Thanksgiving. And, you know, Americans should look to five Democratic senators to come across the aisle to open that. But on the other side, there's also cargo is being slowed down. So, you know, we could end up with shortages, whether it's in our supply chain, whether it's for the holiday.
So Scott Besant is clearly rattled, even though he was referring to the situation worsening if the shutdown stays in place. And we're being told that the shutdown is ending, so perhaps that's good. Although I would argue that the best scenario is the federal government stays shut down forever and we stop relying on the federal government. You know, we don't need the federal government to hire air traffic controllers. That can be organized by industry itself. The only reason there's a shortage of air traffic controllers is because everybody's waiting for the government to reopen and bring them back in. If the government ceased to exist, we wouldn't be waiting around. We would have air traffic controllers taking jobs working for a different entity that's running the air traffic control, you know? And there are many other examples like that. I don't know why everybody's always just waiting around. Like, the government has to save us. No, the government is not your friend. They're not going to make things better. They're going to make things worse, as we are witnessing. But Scott Besant is rattled. And he's got a warning, and this isn't the happy-go-lucky Scott Besant that we had, you know, a week ago. So clearly, these people, Trump and Besant, they know something that isn't public yet. And I'm thinking that it's because the October statistics and some of the September statistics of economic activity in America have not yet been released, because the government shut down. And some of these numbers are probably known by the Trump administration, and they know that they're horrifying numbers. And when the government opens back up, they're going to have to release some of these reports, and the reports are going to be catastrophic. And the market's going to react in a very negative way, etc. Not going to be good. So the bottom line is the economy's in very, very bad shape. And some of this is Trump's fault, the tariffs in particular, but also all the money printing and all the expenditures, all the free money being handed out to foreign countries and just being sent to the Pentagon to disappear down a giant black hole of waste, corruption, and fraud. All of that affects us. It makes the goods and services that we buy much more expensive. Money printing is theft from the workers. It's theft from the people. And Trump, he has zero capability of, you know, halting the money printing. I mean, any president, because there are so many entitlements that are locked in, you know, like Social Security and Medicare and even defense spending and interest on the debt, etc. Pensions, you know, federal pensions. So Trump's backed into a corner, but anybody would be. This isn't his fault overall, that he's president at the end of the empire. You know, this empire won't last much longer. Now, you may recall I've predicted that it wouldn't last through the end of this year. I'm hoping it does last, and I'm hoping I'll have to issue a conclusion that my prediction was early. I'd be fine with that. I hope it lasts a little while longer, but it's very clear where this is going, and it ends with a default on treasuries and a collapse of the dollar currency. That could happen before the end of the year, but it is unlikely. It's more likely that it will continue to just accelerate. That is, money printing will accelerate, inflation will accelerate, and this will be a self-reinforcing feedback loop spiral type of thing where maybe we can keep this going a couple more years, but it's going to be economic hell to go through. People are going to be impoverished like never before. And although the food stamp money may get turned back on, it looks like, this week, what happens when the government ceases to function and then those 42 million people that depend on food stamps have no food stamp money coming ever because the dollar has collapsed? The federal government has collapsed, you know, at that point, whatever day that is. I don't know when that day is, but I don't think it's very far off. But we'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, China has been working on a pill that extends lifespan. It's a longevity pill. And it's supposed to increase your lifespan by something like 9%. And of course, I was joking online. I said, wow, with this pill, which, by the way, is based on a grape seed extract called PCC1. So it's something that's in grape seeds, which I've promoted for years, you know, the nutritional benefits of grape seeds. But I jokingly said, hey, if you take this pill and live longer, you might live long enough to pay off your 50-year mortgage that Trump is pushing now. So longevity and 50-year mortgages go hand in hand. So you can stay indebted longer and keep funneling money to the banks. Okay, there you go. So that's the story in this special report. Be sure to use our website, censored.news, which has financial news headlines that are crawled and spidered off of about 80 different independent websites, mostly censored websites. And then we use our AI engine to extract the key financial trends. You can see it all right there on the homepage. And it covers health and food and finance and tech and politics and so much more. It's very handy. That's censored.news. And then you can use our AI engine at brighteon.ai, which will forward you to brightu.ai. And there you can use our financial coach. Just scroll down on the homepage. You'll see it. It's a financial coach, and you can ask it questions about how money works, how finances work, and so on. And that's trained on all kinds of information, Austrian economics, my interviews with Ron Paul and Andy Schechman and so many other people. So it is a wealth of information about how money works, and you're free to use that along with the disclaimer there that says it's not financial advice. So, you know, use it as a research tool, but verify all critical facts. So take advantage of these free tools, and you can follow my work, of course, at naturalnews.com and also brighteon.com for more interviews and podcasts coming up every weekday. So thanks for joining me. Take care.
Beef juice is a refreshing beverage that can help you stay energized. You can easily incorporate beet juice into your daily routine with Groovy Bee Organic Freeze-Dried Beet Juice Powder. Only at healthrangerstore.com.